In this next story, we're looking at how the urban farming tune joins the chorus of the city. The urban landscape offers its own concert, with its wind tunnels and car horn sections, its allegro tempo. But what happens when you bring the adagio of nature into the mix? Can you get the rhythms of the natural world to jibe with the beat of the city? Coming next is a soundtrack of country and city combined. And on the way, we'll discover what urban farmers are made of.
Let's eat some peas.
Have you ever had a snow pea?
Off the vine.
Sometimes I'll come over here if I forget to eat breakfast or if I don't have enough time to eat breakfast, and I'll just munch off the peas for a few minutes, and that's breakfast. Here, try one.
My name is Susie Palladino, and we're at Garden for the Environment in San Francisco. It's a half-acre demonstration garden over in the Inner Sunset neighborhood. It's been here for about 20 years. In fact, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary on... This is a regular thing. We are really in the city, believe it or not. It's the sound of car radios and horns and just the flow of traffic that is a reminder that you're in the city. Although being in this garden really makes you feel, or makes me feel, pretty far from the city.
Hi, I'm Paul Jaber. I'm a resident of San Francisco. And we're hanging out here at the Garden for the Environment, our little local community demonstration educational garden. And it's a peaceful place, even in the heart of the city. A lot of people come here and they walk in. They're just amazed at the nature and the diversity and the color. It's always full of flowers and hummingbirds and bees and butterflies. This is pretty now. It's blooming. It's blooming now. This is red currant. It's a beautiful plant. Here's a tree mallow, and it's blooming also. See beautiful pink flowers this time of year. We have sage over here, this greenish one. Come and smell it. It's really good. It's a nice pungent odor. It's beautiful. Yeah, I love this plant.
I grew up spending weekends and summers and a lot of time on my aunt and uncle's farm. They live on in a farm outside of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in this very small town called Pofftown, North Carolina. They grew all of their own food for themselves and for friends and neighbors. And they had animals. At one point, they had llamas and goats and chickens and pigs and 5 dogs and 4 cats and I don't know what else.
I actually got my inspiration for gardening here from the Garden for the Environment. I used to walk through here on the way to the local shopping district. And I was amazed at all the different kind of vegetables that they grew here. I grew up in San Francisco, and the weather, of course, you know, it's foggy and overcast often. So, I mean, I couldn't imagine that, in my own mind, that you could grow a whole lot of different things here. But, they grew a huge variety of vegetables here, and I was just amazed. Peas and lettuces and zucchinis and, just celery and carrots and beets. And I was really amazed It was like, you know, more diversity of vegetables than you'd even find in the local supermarket. I was just amazed that you could actually grow so many things in San Francisco climate, and San Francisco weather, San Francisco soil. So, yeah, that's how I sort of got amazed and just kind of really got into it.
It just seemed like a perfect place for me. So I sold my car, packed up 2 suitcases and bought a one-way ticket to San Francisco and said, all right, I'm going to make this work.
So I started volunteering and learning about growing vegetables. And then I took the knowledge that I learned from here and I applied it in my own place. And I grow vegetables in my own house too. I'm lucky I have a backyard where I get about 8 hours of sun a day. So it's a small backyard, but I cram a lot into a small space. And I grow quite a bit of vegetables at my own house, plenty for me and extra to share with friends and family. I have some blueberries and raspberries and strawberries and apple trees along with all the vegetables. So every year I increase the diversity and the amount of food and the variety of food and improve the fertility of the soil. And it's working out really well. Seems like there's always food to eat. 12 months a year, there's always something growing. So
I moved to San Francisco and I arrived here wondering, I wanted to be able to activate that passion for farming and for working the land but I was in the second most dense city in the country. And I was like, how is this going to work? How does this come together? And I was fortunate enough to stumble upon Garden for the Environment. It's a community garden, but the purpose of the garden is different than other community gardens. We're a teaching garden, so people come here to learn. For the volunteers that do show up, we try and make sure that everything they're doing has some sort of educational value to it, so that it's not just weeding. We want to be sure that people that come and volunteer with us know why they're weeding and what they're weeding and the purpose of weeding in this in the greater garden plan.
We don't get involved too much in politics, but mostly just spreading the word on education about composting and gardening and, you know, what people are capable of if they have the time and the patience. You know, it's all about, you know, treading lightly on the earth. So, yeah, if you can save resources and not, you know, save resources and reuse resources, it's always a good thing. So, again, it's a demonstration for people to understand different ways to, save the environment. We're going to save the world. So just small little things like this can make a big difference in the long run.
Urban agriculture, growing your own food is relevant and necessary for the times. There's an interest for it, there's a passion for it, but there's also a need for it in that things are changing. There's global warming, there's peak oil, there's this term called food miles, and it's basically how far your food travels from farm to plate. And currently the food miles are 1,500 miles. So you can imagine how dependent we are on oil to ensure that people are eating and to ensure that people are not going hungry. And so we have to, as you know, a collective group, come up with solutions to that. One of the solutions is supporting urban agriculture projects or gardening projects or people that are interested in growing their own food so that we can reduce the miles that our food travels.
When I started my backyard, my soil was quite poor, and I imagined that I'd have a hard time at first, and I did. The first year was somewhat of a failure, but I kind of expected and anticipated that, but I stuck with it. And at first, you fight the pest and the soil fertility, but the longer you've been doing it, you develop more, expertise and more tricks. What happens with the pest is kind of incredible. I mean, the way it works is first you plant the plants, and then the pests come, the aphids and such. But if you have a little patience, after a year or two, the predators start moving in. The predators balance out the pests. So the first couple of years, typically kind of hard. But if you just stick with it, eventually nature will find a nice balance. And the nature will do a lot of the work. And then you don't have to work so hard. So, and as the soil gets better, the plants grow faster than the bugs can eat them. I guess that's kind of the key. You want it to grow faster than the bugs can eat them.
There is a lack of space for growing, and so there's a lot of people fighting over a very little amount of land. But you can also get creative. I mean, if you don't have access to the earth, you can do container gardening. You can do rooftop gardening. You know, you obviously can't have like a thriving farm on top of a roof. The roof just can't sustain that weight. But you could do a container of salad greens or a couple of different containers of leafy greens. So there's not a ton of space, but that's not to say that you can't be an urban farmer and you can't support a different type of food system.
I think everybody has a potential to grow at least some vegetables, even if you grow just one or two different things, some Swiss chard or lettuce in a bucket, 5-gallon pickle bucket. I mean, even that's something,
Over the last year, our workshop participation has doubled. So that means that twice as many more people are finding out about our programs, but also showing up to learn about them and to learn about growing mushrooms at home and to learn about keeping chickens in the city.
It's getting more popular. I think people are kind of getting tired of the fast pace of the city and the hustle and bustle. And yeah, a lot of people just want to get back to the earth and grow vegetables. It's getting more popular. More people are coming by and they're interested in what we're doing and they're curious about it.
To be able to be working outside, there's nothing more rewarding than that. To being able to observe the change of the seasons and to be a part of that change and to grow with that change is so rewarding and is so insightful. You learn so much about yourself, about your relationship with the living beings, people, plants, animals around you. And so
I think I learned to slow down a lot, kind of live closer to the rhythms of nature, you know, the seasons. And of course, gardening, you have to cultivate quite a bit of patience. I mean, the city's fast, everything happens now. But yeah, when you garden, yeah, you have to learn to cultivate patience and, you know, the rhythms of nature start becoming a part of you. And you get to slow down and really savor life and enjoy life a lot more.
There's so much history in the land. The land just is kind of this capsule of our history and of our heritage. And farming, or getting your hands dirty, growing native plants, just getting out and connecting with the land is the most profound way that we can connect to our history and our ancestors. And so, you know, I think there's this romantic side of it, and spiritual side and cultural side of growing food, of farming, and then there's the other kind of more activist sort of kind of reactive side to creating a independence from a food system whose values we don't support. And they've kind of both things have sort of lined up perfectly, and they're complementing each other. And it's like the more you find out about the food system, the more you want to get your hands dirty. And the more you get your hands dirty, the more you connect to your history. And, you know, they just kind of feed off each other. And I think that all of that is those connections are swelling right now. And people are wanting to dive deeper.
It's probably cheaper. Actually, if you look at the monetary aspect, it's probably cheaper to just go, when you factor in the labor and the time, to just go buy your vegetables in the market. But I think when you grow your own vegetables, I just think I live a better life. I feel better about myself and what I'm doing and the way I'm living. It's a simpler life, a more natural life. And yeah, I get a big benefit from it. I think I've learned to live life at a human level, I'd say. Yeah, at a slower pace, at a more natural pace, at a human pace. So I've got to turn my back, at least momentarily, on technological speed and technological life, and just really be a person and a human again. I think that's what I've learned.
I know that I won't live here forever. I'm just not a city girl. But what I've learned in here and what I've learned in San Francisco about gardening and farming will certainly influence the rest of my life.
You know, I love the city. I've always lived here. I like the energy, the diversity, but I sort of somewhat get the best of both worlds because I get all the benefits of the city and also get to live this urban farmer lifestyle. So it works out really well for me. I always thought I'd like to live in the country, but I'm kind of used to the energy of the city. I think maybe after a short time I might get bored. So I think I'm enjoying the best of both worlds here in San Francisco.
This is the Stanford Storytelling Project and 90.1 FM KZSU Stanford. I'm Natasha Buck.